Let's all stand. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live a new life. I have come to bring the truth. I have come to bring you life. If you that it is love which makes the spirit grow. If you believe, then you shall live. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live a new life. Keep in mind the things that I have said. Remember me in the breaking of the bread. He who believes in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live a new life. If you believe, then you shall.
God and Father, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, grant that your servant Jonathan, being raised with him, may know the strength of his presence and rejoice in his eternal glory, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So I wanted again to welcome and thank all of you for coming. But I also wanted to tell you what we're going to be doing this morning. And as the service progresses, there'll be a couple of times that I will be explaining why we're doing what we're doing. Because I realize in coming in support, we come from different backgrounds and different walks with the Lord and maybe different Christian experiences. But it's important that we enter into this corporately to worship this morning. So what we're going to begin with is a time of praise and worship. And it's really going to be a time of praise and worship. And for those of you who are familiar with Jonathan, and that's why you're here, Jonathan was a worshiper.
Yes, he was. Yes.
And oftentimes, more often than not, when on Sunday when we would worship, he would be right up here laying in front of the altar. If he wasn't laying in front of the altar, he was in the back pew and he was periodically yelling out, "Alleluia!" And so we remember that well. So I'm asking you, as we enter into this time of praise and worship, I'm asking you to enter into it. Let your heart worship. Let that be a time of praise, even though praise at times is a sacrifice. But we come into the presence of the Lord to worship Him. And sometimes the worship comes from a place of joy, and sometimes it comes from a place of contention. Sometimes it just comes from a place of sorrow. But we praise Him because that is where He fills us up. And so we will have a time of that praise and worship, and it will be an extended time. Then after that, we will have some readings from the Scripture. We will also have a couple of people speaking. And then following that, there will be communion. And so, as I said, as the service progresses, I will periodically just let you know what it is that we're doing and why it is that we're doing, so that you can more corporately enter in. If you want, during that praise and worship, to come up around here, fill that area there, fill that area there, come up around here, you are certainly welcome. We will be standing out in here, so if you want to come up, some of you, I invite you to do that as a way of trying to just enter into the time. And for any of you who feel that you need to be seated during that time, I invite you to be seated. But however you take this time, let's worship the Lord. Amen.
In my life, be lifted high. In my world, be lifted high. In our love, be lifted high. Sing that again, church. In my life, be lifted high. In my world, be lifted high. In our love, be lifted high. In my life, in my life. Separate, even if I ran away, 'cause your love never fails.
Hallelujah.
I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. Stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. But when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love. strong. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. You may all things work together for my good.
Romans 8:28.
You may all things work together for my good. You may all things work together for my good. You may all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Yes, Lord. Yes, you do, Lord.
You make all things work together for my good.
You stay the same.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Water that turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness we shine, out of the darkness we rise. No one like you, none like. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God
that turns,
water that turned into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. And into the
darkness you shine. Out of the darkness we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is for us, then who could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is for us, then who could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is for us, then who can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who can ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who can stand against? Then who can stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger.
God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer.
Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Yes, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God. Our God. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. You give life, you give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart is broken. Great are you. Great are you, Lord. It's in your breath, in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath, in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. to you all. You give life. You give life. You are love.
You are love.
You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
You give hope.
You restore.
You restore
every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you. For you, King of Kings, to you only. Worthy, 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 to you only. To you only.
you'd like to be seated as we have the readings. And the readings are ones that the three boys are going to read. They're ones that they chose from Isaiah and Revelation and from the Psalms. And so that's great. So who has the first reading?
From Isaiah 25, verse 6 through 9. In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. In that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings." Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings and surely goodness of unfailing love will pursue me on all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
This is the New Testament reading from Revelations 21:2-7. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I'm making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel.
Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Could please be seated. So what we hope that we do today, all of us, that whatever it is that we have to say comes from a place that's real, that is authentic, and comes from our heart. And as we come to embrace you guys, you know, take you in our arms and love you and be there for you all the way. And, you know, we want to embrace that as a community of faith gathered to mourn, to grieve, and to go through that, but to know that we have a hope that is so beyond that. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And that doesn't mean that we don't have questions. That doesn't mean that we understand everything. It doesn't mean that we don't wrestle with things and we don't have struggles. But somewhere in the midst of that, we hang on to something that is so real because that something is a person and that person is Jesus. And it's Jesus who has a hold of us, not we have a hold of him.
Amen.
Because he's the author and the giver of life, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the light of the world. He is all of that, and he is so much more. And so when we want to embrace you guys and take you into our arms and love on you and in the midst of that realize that the Lord has us in his embrace to love upon us and to bring his comfort and his peace and his joy that's beyond understanding, and to fill us with that assurance of his presence, even in the midst of those things that we don't quite yet understand. but to be able to say, Lord, I lay that down because I trust who you are. Because you who did not spare your own life, because that's what the Father had asked, so that that would be the proof to us that you have conquered death. And death and disease does not have the last say. For the Father is the one who gives life, and Jesus is the one who redeems it and saves it, and the Holy Spirit sanctifies it. And when our life, our earthly life, comes to a close, then the Lord and the Lord alone is the one who restores it. And He restores it. And we need to cherish this life that we have. We need to cherish every moment that we have and look at it as a sacred gift. But we recognize that it's not the end. Amen. We're part of a pilgrim people on a pilgrimage that we are walking. And the Lord is with us in the midst of that. Something that happens at funerals is that for all who gather to be here, that there can be other experiences of loss that we have all gone through. And some of that gets resurrected. Some of that gets remembered as we remember other losses. And another thing that can happen is we can begin to ponder what it would be like to lose someone who would be so close, the closest person to me. What would it be like if I had to lose them? And then lastly, when we realize that each of us have a limited amount of time. You know, our scriptures say our days are numbered before one of them existed. That doesn't mean that we don't continue to fulfill and to pray for those who have died to be resurrected. So if there are some untimely deaths, then we fulfill that gospel imperative. But when that life comes to an end, then we are aware that they are with the Lord. Amen. They are with the Lord. Totally, completely, absolutely. Jonathan was an individual who had a lot of questions, and he still may be asking them. And last night when people were coming in, and they kept coming in and kept coming in and kept coming in, I commented the fact that Jonathan would have had a ball because he would have thought, good heavens, all these people I can talk with? And I can spend time with each one. And they're talking from 5 to 7. I'm going to need a lot more than that. But he knew the Lord was with him the whole time. And he said to me so many, many times, and I didn't have the privilege of knowing him as long as so many of you have. But he would say often, I've been asking the Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? What do you want me to learn? He never believed for one moment, not one moment, that God gave him cancer. Not one.
That's right.
And it was trusting in Jesus, trusting fully and completely. And so, you know, if we have questions, as I said before, those questions that percolate up, those are the same questions we also want to lay before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand everything. And it would be remiss, knowing Jonathan as an evangelist, if I did not say this, that if there's anyone here who does not know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if nothing else, this is a time that you are asked and invited to consider that fact because of the very reality of the limited amount of time that each of us have. And having said that, when we look at our life, we look around at those we are on a pilgrimage with, and to be able to say, man, oh man, if there's anybody that I need to say, I love you, and I haven't done it, today's a good day to do that. If there's anybody in my life that I need to forgive or I need to ask forgiveness from, today's a good day to do that. today's a good day to do that in regards to the opportunity that we're given to embrace and hold and love, and then also ponder where we are in our own journey. In a church that tries to embrace, somewhat in a stumbling fashion, but somewhat in a trying to be faithful, a historic tradition, we begin one of the seasons called Lent with sign of the cross made with ashes on the forehead. And we say, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And it's a reminder of the limited amount of time, and then we go through Lent into the great feast of the resurrection. That Jesus takes these ashes and he raises them up to new life. And this candle right here, it's called the Easter candle, for any of you who are not familiar with that. And the Easter candle is lit two times in a person's life. It's lit when they are baptized. When they are baptized and they die, and they rise. Because that's what happens in baptism. It is by no means an empty ritual, right? It's an absolute transformation that takes place in the waters of baptism, that one is buried in Christ and raised in Christ, and they are now a child of God, risen in Him. Amen. And so this candle is lit at a person's baptism. It's the light of Christ that is forever burning within them. And the second time that it's lit is at their funeral. Because the light of Christ continues to burn brightly, never to be extinguished, because no follower of his shall ever walk in darkness. So this is a sign and a symbol of that reality of the light of Christ that is alive within us, but will never be extinguished in this life nor in eternal life, because we are his. And the church walks with us throughout our life. It walks with us when we are born and when we are baptized, and hopefully when we are married and when we come to this point. And the church is that rhythm, that pilgrimage with us all along as we see this journey that we're on, and this journey that seems that we want to take these young people and just love on them. And to know that as a community we are there all the way, but more importantly, the Lord is there all the way. And the Lord will never forsake us, never abandon us, never leave us, because he has a hold of us, he who is the resurrection and the life. We're also going to have communion today. And the mystery of communion. It's the most, has been said about this faith that we live, it's the most charismatic thing that we do. It's the most charismatic thing that we do, taking bread and wine and placing it upon an altar, and anything placed upon the altar is something that is presented unto the Lord. And in the midst of that, we place that upon this altar like the, you know, the loaves and the fishes that the little boy gave unto the Lord, that says, this is all I have, and look what the Lord did. So we take this bread and wine and we place this on the altar, and we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon this and to transform it into being something that it was not before, but it is now. It's his body and his blood. He takes what we give to him and transforms it from the inside out, the same thing he does to us. He transforms us from the inside out and gives us that hope of what he's doing. And so we feed on him. And as the saying goes, we are what we eat. We are what we eat. We are what we drink. And taking in the body and blood of the Lord is that transformation. And this family has received it so many, many times. That assurance, that promise of God's faithfulness. Amen. It's a good and gracious and holy thing that we do. There's a passage in Psalm chapter 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. I love that passage. And that's what the Lord says to us today. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Because we are in Him. Right? Our life is hidden in Him. We are seated in Him. That may be Him calling. But to find ourselves in that place that His loving eye is ever upon us, as He is so much with us. And I would like to take time to spend a few moments on each of those readings, but I hope that the readings that Josh and Ethan and Riley chose will be readings that can touch them throughout their lives. But in Revelation, where Jesus says, I make all things new, and if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, and I will satisfy you. I will satisfy you where you are thirsty, whether that's emotional or spiritual or relational, whether it's thirsting for him, even if you don't know that's what you're thirsting for. But he says, come to me. Because you know what it's like when you thirst. It's like all you can think about is getting that quenched. And Jesus says, come to me if you thirst, and I will give you life. Death is an enemy. It's not a normal part of life. It's not a normal part of life. And we are reminded that that is the last enemy to be destroyed.
Amen.
And see, the moment that we think that it's a normal part of life, then we totally misunderstand the gospel. Jesus came to bring life and life in abundance.
Amen.
And so we are reminded when we gather at a place like this where we grieve and we mourn, but we say, we will see you again. And there will be that day when there will be no more goodbyes.
Amen.
No more goodbyes.
That's right. That's right.
No more sorrow. No more pain. No more remembrance of that. But realizing that, Lord, you were with me all through that pilgrimage. And as I moved towards that time that you had allotted, to realize that you were there. And that which has been maybe trying to hang around does not have the last say.
No. That's right.
Jonathan isn't there.
Amen.
He is with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Risen, his Savior. And so when we do all of this today that comes from something that's real, let's also be honest with who we are and where Christ is in our life. Amen?
Amen.
I know a lot of you guys, but some of you may not know me. My name's Chris Granberry, and I'm Jonathan's big brother. Maybe I should say older brother. I know not too long ago realized Jonathan's about 2 inches taller and a lot bigger, so he's my big brother. First of all, I want to say thank you so much. On behalf of the family, I want to say thank you for all of the love and the support and the prayers, just an outpouring of love and support from all of you guys. And last night, I don't even know, I couldn't even see the end of the line out into the street there. And I just want to say thank you so much. It really means the world to all of us to see how much you guys love Jonathan and how much you love us, how much you love Jennifer and the boys. I also want to thank this church, and I just really appreciate the leaders and the ladies that work in the kitchen and the musicians and the singers. Thank you. I needed that this morning. I really appreciate you guys and your leadership. We're just very grateful. Some of the things Father Mark shared were some of the things that I had in mind too. And so in a way, I'm going to kind of be picking through some of my notes, trying not to double up on some of the same things that that he shared. But a lot of memories came back. People say you're flooded, you know, with memories, stories from my childhood with Jonathan. And I wanted to share some of those things with you. As I was thinking about this, what do you say, you know, at your brother's funeral? My first thought was, words fail me. And I think that's true. But the next thought was, the Lord's word doesn't fail. No. Right? So I've tried to weed out my opinions and all that business, because words fail me. And I hope that what you'll remember is the Lord's word and the promises that we can hold on to even as we move forward. Two things kind of rose to the surface as I thought about what to share. One of the questions was, what did we love about Jonathan? And when I think back on my memories with him, there's a lot of things I loved about my brother. I remember the day Jonathan was born. I was only 3 and a half, and I was hanging out. I remember hanging out in our front yard with my grandmother, who's here today. Stung him on the foot. And at first I didn't realize what was going on, but he was screaming bloody murder and jumping around. And then I realized one of the bees got him, and my mom came and scooped him up and took care of him. And I was so mad at the bees, I went and got the fly swatter. And I got a little Ziploc sandwich bag, and I went out there and I killed as many bees as I could. I know you shouldn't do that. But I kept them. I put them all in the baggie, you know, and tried to get revenge. I went and presented him with a bag of bees. Because I was trying to be a good big brother and look out for him, you know. I remember watching Jonathan play T-ball and then baseball when he got a little older and then soccer. Think about Christmases and about Halloween and about the 4th of July. I remember Jonathan in high school. I remember Jonathan in college. I remember riding mountain bikes together out in the woods, and that was worth it just to see Jonathan on a bike. I remember Jonathan being at the hospital when my kids were born and being at birthday parties. I remember Jonathan on his wedding day, right here in this church. I remember when Jonathan's boys were born and seeing him with his boys. Not too long ago, maybe, I don't know, a year ago or so, Jonathan and I went out and played frisbee golf together and talked for 2 or 3 hours, of course. And that was fun. And he was telling me all about Jen and all about the boys and all about his church and all about what the Lord was doing. And then just back in May, we got to go to a baseball game together at the Barons game. That was a good night. I sent out some messages to folks asking, you know, what did you love about Jonathan? And a lot of the responses were really amazing and overwhelming and good. And I know it's just a little taste, but and some of them were too long to figure out how to use. But my cousin Tara said about Jonathan, she said, from the time we were little, Jonathan always had an inner happiness that was bursting out through his smile. In all of his relationships with his family, with his friends, with God, he loved deep. Even though on the outside he was tall and intimidating, He was one of the most kind and tender-hearted and compassionate men I've ever known. A good friend of Jonathan's, Brian Haddock, said, I remember how Jonathan always looked out for me. He was always giving me advice like a big brother. I don't know anybody who had more of an impact on me personally when I was a teenager. When I graduated and went to Auburn, he was always inviting me over to pray with him, and he showed me what true worship really is. Tara's mom, our Aunt Donna, said, I have so many sweet memories with Jonathan when he was young. She said, now that little fella was a good eater. She said he never met a vegetable that he didn't like. And he loved helping his granddaddy, in the garden. And of course, it was usually Jonathan trying to tell granddaddy how things ought to be done, how to make things grow. My cousin Mark said, one of my favorite stories is when Jonathan took me downtown to Surin West and taught me how to eat sushi. A lot of the favorite stories revolve around food, it seems like. He said Jonathan knew all different kinds of ways how they prepare sushi. He showed me how to eat it the correct way with chopsticks. And that day he believed he was the ultimate expert and authority on eating sushi. One of our cousins, Wendy, said that Jonathan was always thinking more of others than of himself. I think we'll all miss his laugh and his sense of humor for the most part. And we'll miss his heart. You know, Jonathan, as I looked at it, you know, one of the questions I found myself asking was, what does Jonathan love? Jonathan loved the Lord. He loved his wife. He loved his boys. He loved his church. And he loved people deeply. One of the phrases that I came across that has really helped me over the years is something that I think everybody knows, but I tend to forget. Funerals are for the living, right? Funerals are for us. And I wanted to share a passage with you that means a lot to me. I know my wife's favorite verse is here in the middle of this one too, so I know it means a lot to her. But I hope this passage is something you can hang on to, the readings that the boys did. Again, our words fail us. We don't have words for a time like this, but God's word will never fail. So Psalm 27, I'm just going to read I'm not reading the whole thing, but it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. I'm confident that I will see the Lord's goodness when I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. I want to ask you guys to pray that passage for Jen and for the boys when you think about them. That's Psalm 27. And if you find one you like better, go ahead and pray that one. But until you find something better, just latch on to Psalm 27. And whenever you think about Jen and the boys, pray for them along those lines. So what did Jonathan love? He loved his family. He loved Jennifer. He loved his boys. He was so proud of you guys. You know, I don't know if y'all saw that all the time, but anytime I saw Jonathan one-on-one, he was always going to tell me everything that was happening with each one of you guys. He loved people. He loved his church. Jonathan loved celebrations, right? He loved the holidays. He loved Christmas and Halloween and everything. He loved food. He loved music. He loved fireworks. He loved laughter. Most of all, he loved Jesus. And as I was thinking through that list of all the things Jonathan loved, I started to see another list that ran along next to it of all the things he didn't care a whole lot about. And that was an interesting list too. He wasn't overly concerned with money. He wasn't overly concerned with work and career. He didn't care a whole lot about politics, although we know he hated abortion. But he wasn't overly political, I guess. He loved Auburn football, but he wasn't really all that into sports. He wasn't into big houses or fancy cars or expensive clothes. Nothing wrong with those things. But that's just not what was interesting to Jonathan, right? He gravitated toward things that are eternal, toward relationships, toward spiritual things. And just like I said a minute ago, holidays, celebrations, food. Maybe you think food's not, but right now he's at the table, right? He's at the table with Jesus, with my mom, our mom. He's singing and dancing. And you know, we'll be there soon too. If we belong to the Lord, we're going to be there soon. One of my favorite authors is Charles Spurgeon, pastors, preachers. I love to read, and I couldn't find it. I looked and looked for this sermon, but there's one sermon where he's talking about heaven. And toward the end of the sermon, he starts saying, soon you're going to see Jesus face to face. Soon you're going to be there. Soon, soon. He's talking about all the good things in heaven. And every time he says, soon, 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 soon. And the first time I read it, I was probably in my early 30s. And I remember thinking, you know, I don't normally disagree with Charles Spurgeon. But I remember thinking, probably not that soon. But then it hit me. He's there. Spurgeon's there. You know? And then it hit me. It is soon. It is soon. And as Father Mark shared, Jonathan would want you to know, where are you ready? Right. Are you ready for eternity? It comes a lot sooner than we ever imagined. So Spurgeon said, soon, soon, soon. And for Jonathan, it's now, now, now. Now, now, now. Right? I used to just hate funerals. But now I've realized over the years, they're actually bittersweet when you know somebody loved the Lord. Right? Funerals can just be bitter if you're really not sure where somebody stood with the Lord. But today, this one is bittersweet. It's bittersweet, and that's okay. It's okay. So I know Jonathan would want me to ask you, are you ready for eternity? It's soon. He would say, get ready, be ready. If you're not sure, find somebody, talk to them. This is the most important thing you can do. Dwight L. Moody, I'm closing. Dwight L. Moody said this, someday you'll read in the papers that D.L. Moody of Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I'll be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone to a higher place, and that is all. Out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that sin cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned into his glorious body. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die, but that which is born of the spirit will live forever. A few hours before he actually passed away, he said he caught a glimpse of the glory that awaited him. He awoke from sleep and he said, earth recedes. Heaven opens up before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me and I must go. His son was standing by his bedside and said, "No, no, Father, you're dreaming." "No," said Mr. Moody, "I'm not dreaming. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces." A short time went by, and then he spoke again. "This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious." I read about African believers in a certain tribe. They never say that somebody has departed. Instead, they say they have arrived. So on one hand, today is bitter. We're going to miss Jonathan a lot. He meant a lot to a whole lot of people, especially to Jen and the boys. And he is irreplaceable. But at the same time, we rejoice because he's not lost. We know where he is. And he has arrived. And soon we'll be with him and see him again. Psalm 73 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever."
I didn't know if there was anyone else who just felt that they just wanted to say something regarding Jonathan that's on your heart that you feel that you need to say. I know that if we took time and had everybody, we would be here all day, but if there is anyone who feels that there is something that you just feel that needs to be said. And maybe if that's the case, you can share with the family afterwards. So what we're going to do is to pray an ancient prayer called the Apostles' Creed, and it'll show up here on the screen here. I invite you to stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. There's a short list of prayers that we will go through now on page 497 of the Book of Common Prayer. As we pray, for our brother Jonathan, let us pray to our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the resurrection and I am life." And your response after each of these prayers is, "Hear us, Lord." Lord, you consoled Martha and Mary in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Jonathan, and dry the tears of those who weep.
Hear us, Lord.
You wept at the grave of Lazarus, your friend. Comfort us in our sorrow.
Hear us, Lord.
You raised the dead to life. Give to our brother eternal life.
Hear us, Lord.
You promised paradise to the thief who repented. Bring our brother to the joys of heaven.
Hear us, Lord.
Our brother Jonathan was washed in baptism and anointed with the Holy Spirit. Give him fellowship with all your saints.
Hear us, Lord.
He was nourished with your body and blood. Grant him a place at the table in your heavenly kingdom.
Hear us, Lord.
Comfort us in our sorrows at the death of our brother. Let our faith be our consolation and eternal life our hope.
Hear us, Lord. So if we could have some music. need the gifts of bread and wine to be brought up. This bread that is brought up, it's a reminder to us that it's labor to make bread, and so it represents in that sense all of what we do. And the wine that we have, it comes from grapes, and grapes are crushed. And there's a kind of crushing that can take place in our lives. But that crushing that takes place in our lives is that crushing that leads to this fragrant, wonderful kind of wine that with time is tremendous. And so the wine represents of all of who we are. And so in the Eucharist, what we are doing is giving unto the Lord all of what we do and all of who we are unto Him. And He gives back Himself to us. Amen. And the incense that is used is a reminder that our whole life is to be in a worship service. Our whole life we are called to worship the Lord. And each of the grains of incense that are in this thurible is a reminder that our lives are a sweet-smelling aroma that goes ever before the presence of the Lord. Just like our prayers are a sweet-smelling aroma that goes ever before the presence of the Lord. So everything we do has such meaning, a visible sign of invisible grace, a reminder of calling us deeper, calling us to share more into the mystery of that which we cannot see. For that which we cannot see is more real than that which we can. For the veil is very thin, as Chris shared with us. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the body of Christ.
Blessed be God forever.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become for us the blood of Christ.
Blessed be God forever.
Lord God, we ask that you be pleased with the sacrifice we offer you with humble and contrite hearts. And Lord, wash away our iniquities and cleanse us from our sinfulness. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
If you could please stand. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, you are holy indeed, the fountain of all holiness. Let your Holy Spirit come upon these gifts to make them holy, so that they may become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was given up to death, a death he freely accepted, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks and praise, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for the whole world, for the forgiveness of sins, for the healing of fallen and broken humanity. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In memory of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Father, this life-giving bread, this saving cup. We thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. May all of us who share in the body and blood of Jesus be brought together in unity by the Holy Spirit. Father, remember your church throughout the world. Make us grow in love together with our Patriarch Craig Bates, our Bishop Chuck Jones, and all the clergy. Remember those for whom we now pray. Father, for all the prayers that are known to you and the silence of all of our hearts that are gathered here today, Lord, those prayers that we make on behalf of others, on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of Jen and Jack and Josh and Ethan, Riley, Lord, upon the Granberry family, the extended family, upon all who have experienced loss for our world and for those things, Lord, that we continue to contend for. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you are always with us and that you always hear us. And again, Lord, we place these prayers in our lives upon this altar as we thank you and we praise you for your goodness. Father, draw our hearts to remember the poor and broken. As we receive the body and blood of Jesus, may we be transformed to become the body of Christ to the world. Have mercy on us all, O Lord, for you have made us worthy to share eternal life with all the saints. May we praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. Thank you. love for you. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord, we praise you that in these holy gifts there is healing for body, soul, and spirit. Though I am not worthy to receive you, only say the word, and I shall be healed. I wanted to say something about receiving communion this morning. What we will have is two people here distributing the host, and then we will have two other people on either side over here distributing the precious blood. So there are several ways to receive communion if you like. You can receive communion when you come up to receive the host either in your hand or on your tongue. And when it comes to the precious blood, if you do not want to receive from the cup, if you want to instead do what's called intinction, that is taking the host and that is putting it in the cup and then receiving it that way. But I also need to say this because it is important that we recognize that there are some differences. But in a setting such as this, I would invite you to come to communion. But there are a couple of things that I need to say about that. If you do want to come to communion, it is important that you are baptized. Because that's something that needs to have occurred. And secondly, because we do believe in the mystery that, because Jesus said so, that's what we embrace. That the bread and wine become the body and blood of the Lord. And so, if you are able to embrace that, we would invite you to come and ask you to come. And just so that you would understand, it would be coming up the middle aisles and then it would be returning on the side aisles so that there will be a flow such as that. Amen? Mm-hmm.